Being that this Sunday is the day in which many will commemorate Yom Yerushalayim, I thought it was a good time to talk about a sugya that has to do with it, and that is, what is the status of visiting the Har HaBayis Bizman HaZeh? There are many, many people in our community who visit Eretz Yisrael, and inevitably I get this question a number of times a year, where they want to know whether or not it is appropriate and whether or not it is proper for them to be visiting the Har HaBayis. And this is actually a very, very important question, and there's a lot to talk about. So let's just begin with a beautiful paragraph in Rabbi Avadia's Tshuva in Chelek Hei of Yabia Omer in Yaradeya Simen Chavav. And there, Rabbi Avadia writes a Tshuva to try to figure out what exactly is the status of the Har HaBayis, and what are we allowed to do today, and what must we make sure to stay away from. So look, notice carefully the way this Tshuva begins. He writes that the Tshuva is written on Gimel Sivan Tafshin Chaf Zayin. Tafshin Chaf Zayin is 1967, and when the Israelis were actually able to conquer Yerushalayim, that was on Chaf Ches Iyar. So this was about 5 days after they conquered Yerushalayim. Rabbi Avadia realizes, we have a problem. Now that we have Yerushalayim, we don't even know what to do. We don't know what the status of the Har HaBayis is. We don't know whether or not we're allowed to visit the Har HaBayis. And therefore, he says, we, as the poskim of the generation, have to really figure out what we're going to do when we deal with our community and the Har HaBayis. So he gets down to work 5 days later, and he writes this very beautiful tshuva, which starts as follows. B'yos ki b'yamim elu, in these days, hifli Hashem Yisbarach chazdav v'nifla'osav imanu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overwhelmed us with His kindness. Gavar aleinu chazdo, v'ro kal apsi aretz es Yeshuas Elokeinu. All over the world, they saw the might and the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how He saved us. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo ba'avur shemar gadol. V'yatsanu me'afela liora. And we went out on this day from a tremendous sense of darkness to an unbelievable light. Miyagon l'simcha. Baruch Hu mevarech shemo asher sam nafshena b'chayim. That He didn't allow our enemies to destroy us. Everybody felt in 1967 like they were going to be completely demolished, completely destroyed. And yet, Berov Rachama v'chasadav, with all of the incredible mercy of the Ribono Shel Olam Zachinu, Gam l'shechrur shel hakotel ha'maravi, Srid beis mikdashenu v'sifartenu, not only did we not lose the war, not only did we have a chance at survival, but we also had the incredible gift of getting back the sovereignty over the Kotel, the Av Kol Shetach HaRabayis VaHamigdash, Nesunim Hema BeChasos Shilton Yisrael. Now the HaRabayis itself is once again under Israeli sovereignty, Lachain. And therefore, because this is the reality in which we live, Amadati VeEsponein B'Dvar Machlokes Rabboseinu HaRishonim. I figure that it was an appropriate time for me, says Rabbi Avadia, to work out the great debate amongst the Rishonim. Are we in fact allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash today, into the Har HaBayis? If perhaps it is something that is inappropriate, must we go out and make our opinion known to the greater Jewish community? The tshuva then takes a little bit of a turn in a different direction, and he then says we have to also discuss whether one is allowed to go in a helicopter right over the Makom HaMikdash, whether you're allowed to fly in a plane. So that's going to be outside of the purview of this discussion today, because it's just too much of a debate on its own. Let's just talk about the regular discussion, and that is one allowed to go onto the Shetach Har HaBayis? Are we allowed to visit the Makom HaMikdash today when there is no Beis HaMikdash there? Or perhaps is it an inappropriate thing to do? Now let me just preface this by saying the following. I think sometimes the groups who have the practice to go onto the Har HaBayis, sometimes they're portrayed as a wild or very extreme group. And I believe maybe there are some people like that, maybe there aren't, I don't know. But I believe at its core, this is really a machlokes l'shem shamayim. And this is really something that they're considering doing, not because they're extremists, but rather because they feel that there's a very good justification for them to be doing what they do to go onto the Har HaBayis. I'd just like to begin to explain where it is that they're coming from before we get into the absolute halachic debate about whether or not it's proper. Number one, they have five reasons why they believe that the right and smart thing to do in our generation is to visit the Har HaBayis, to go onto the Shetach of the Makom HaMikdash. Number one, there's a Ramban in the Hashmatos to the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Ramban there writes the following: Nitzdavinu, we have a mitzvah lareshes es haaretz asher nasan hakel yis'ala lavusenu la'avraham liyitzchak uliyakov. Says the Ramban, we have a mitzvah to conquer the land. V'lo na'azvena biyad zulasenu min ha'umos o l'shmama. We don't have a right to give it over to any other nation or to leave it desolate. V'zeu shenemar, and this says the Ramban is learned from a pasuk in the Torah, as it says, v'ho rashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba, ki lachem nasati es ha'aretz l'aresha sosa. And therefore writes the Ramban, we have a mitzvah not only to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, but we have a mitzvah to make sure that we don't leave Eretz Yisrael in the hand of our enemy, and we do not leave it barren and desolate. And therefore, that is reason number one, that there are many who believe that the right thing to do in our generation today, when we have the opportunity and the right to visit the Makom HaMikdash, we would be in fulfillment of this mitzvah that the Ramban says of making sure that we don't leave the land of Eretz Yisrael in the hand of our enemies or barren and desolate. Reason number one. Reason number two that they have is because we know that there is a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf. This is quoted in the Rambam. It's quoted as well in Shulchan Aruch, Yaradeya Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, that there is a prohibition in the Torah of Lo Sechanim. And it's very difficult to clearly define what the prohibition of Lo Sechanim really means, because the Gemara says it has three different interpretations. But one of them that's relevant to our discussion is that you are not allowed to give land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. Lo sitnu lahem chania bekarka, says the Gemara, you're not allowed to give a non-Jew a piece of property in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore they believe, if we're going to just leave the Shetach HaRabayis as is, and we are not going to frequent, and we are not going to visit that place, that is ostensibly doing the Avera of Lo Sechanim. We are giving it over to others. We are showing them that it's no longer ours, and now they have jurisdiction over it. And therefore, that is the second reason that they argue that this would be a very good idea, in order that we shouldn't be in violation of, number one, what the Ramban says of Ha'aretz Tia Shemama, or to give it over to the other nations of the world, and number two, the prohibition of Lo Sechanim. Number three, the Ramban writes that we have a mitzvah that is based on the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Kiim el ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivtechem lasum es shemo sham. There is a place, which is the Beis HaMikdash, where the Ribono Shel Olam has chosen, from all of the places in Eretz Yisrael, that's where he chose to rest and reside his Shechina. L'shichno sidrishu uvasa shama. You should try your best to talk about it. You should be doresh, you should inquire and look into it. Uvasa shama, you should come there, you should visit there. Write the Ramban. What does it mean? Shetel chulo me'eretz merchakim. We have a mitzvah that we should go and visit that place. L'shichno sidrishu means we should go to that place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen, to the Har Habayis. V'tishalu, you should come from all over the world and you should ask those who you encounter in Eretz Yisrael, Ana derech beis Hashem, what is the way, what are the directions to get to the Har Habayis? V'tomru isha riehu, and one person will say to their friend, L'chu v'nale el har Hashem el beis Elokei Yaakov. Quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Ramban writes that there is a mitzvah to be interested and to travel and to show that we really have an interest in understanding what the Har Habayis means to us and how special a place it is for us as well. That is reason number three. Reason number four, they say, based on the Rambam. The Rambam has a very surprising comment in Mitzvah Saseh number 5 in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And there the Rambam has his famous discussion about his belief that there is a mitzvah of tefillah every day. There are other Rishonim who disagree with that, but the Rambam believes that we have a mitzvah saseh mida'araisa to daven every single day. So says the Ramban. Says the Rambam. In part of that discussion, he says, "Avduhu b'toraso, avduhu b'mikdasho." He quotes a Maimer Chazal that we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by following his Torah. And number two, he says we have a mitzvah to be Oved Hashem b'mikdasho, in his Beis HaMikdash. Kilomer, says the Rambam, Laleches sham lehispalel bo v'negdo. We have a mitzvah to go there, to the Beis HaMikdash, and to daven there. As the pasuk says, Ki beisi beis tfila yikare lechal ha'amim. And therefore, says the Rambam, that is part of the obligation that we have, not only to serve Hashem, not only to keep his mitzvos, but to daven in the Makom HaMikdash. And that is reason number four, why they argue that this is a very important concept for us to remember. We should visit the Har HaBayis because we have an opportunity to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill the mitzvah, like the Rambam writes, of Dehu B'Mikdasho. And finally, number five is, because the Torah says, Eshabsosai Tishmoru U'Mikdashi Tiro. And the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Vav learns that there's some kind of connection between Shmira Shabbos and Mora Migdash. Meaning what? Says the Gemara. Just like we have an obligation to keep Shabbos for all generations, regardless of where we live, in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz, we always have to make sure in every generation that we keep the mitzvah of Shabbos, so too the mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash, the mitzvah of being in awe and fear of the Makom HaMikdash, is something that we always need to observe, regardless of the generation, regardless of where we live. It is something that we always need to do. So some argue. We have a mitzvah, take for example, of Mora Avaim. So let's say a person doesn't want to express their sense of awe for their parents. So they're going to move to Japan, and they're never going to see their parents again, and they'll not have a cell phone, and this way, they'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Mora Avaim. You would not get any credit for the mitzvah of Mora Avaim. Mora Avaim means when you're in the presence of your parents, and you have an option of showing them the perspective that you have of how much you respect them, of how much you're in awe of them, only then do you have the mitzvah of Mora Avaim. And some argue that the same applies here with the mitzvah of Mora Migdash. If a person lives in Chutz Laretz and never encounters the Makom HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis, how can you ever be in fulfillment of Mora Migdash? That's like the son, the daughter who moved to Japan and never see their parents again. So over here, the only way to observe this actual mitzvah saseh midaraisa of Umikdashi Tiro, they argue would be if a person goes to the Makom HaMikdash and while they are there, they show that their perspective is one of seriousness. They show that they really are in awe of everything that the Makom HaMikdash represents. So these are, again, the five reasons why those who believe that we should be going on to the Har HaBayis believe, l'shem shamayim, that this is a good idea for those five reasons that we just mentioned. However, even according to those groups who believe that Har HaBayis is a place that we should be careful to go, one also has to be mindful of the fact that when you go there, there is a certain mindset that is expected of a person as they go onto the Shetach Har HaBayis. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Kol HaNichnas LaAzara. Anyone who goes and visits the Azara has to be Yahalech B'Nachas B'Makom Shemutur Lo L'Hikanes L'Sham. Number one, says the Rambam, you have to make sure that you go in the places that are designated for you to go. And number two, says the Rambam, Mahalech Be'ema U'Be'ira Uvira Ada, a person has to go with fear, with trepidation, with seriousness. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Bebeis Elokim Nahalech Beragish. And therefore the Rambam says, even if you're going to visit the Har HaBayis, there's a certain mindset, there's a spirit that a person must have before they go there. And while they are there, they have to keep it in mind at all times. The Rambam writes, a person is not allowed to wear shoes. And there are certain expectations that we have of a person that goes to visit the Makom HaMikdash, and that still applies today. Not only that, we know that somebody who is Tameh is not allowed to go onto the Har HaBayis. And therefore, anybody who goes along with those opinions that believe you're allowed to visit the Har HaBayis must make sure that they go to the mikvah, and it has to be a real mikvah kshera, like a nida would use, in order to be mitar atzma labayla. And the same way that a nida would make a bracha when she goes to the mikvah, so too this person would make a bracha when they go to the mikvah before entering the Har HaBayis. So this is some very important things to keep in mind. Now, let's get into the actual conversation about what is the status of visiting the Har HaBayis. Number one, do we assume that the Makom HaMikdash, that the Har HaBayis itself, retains its level of Kedusha, retains its status of Kedusha, even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash for a few thousand years. Do we assume that there is anything special about the Har HaBayis proper without a Beis HaMikdash being present? Or do you assume that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Har HaBayis itself loses its entire status of Kedusha? So the Rambam discusses this point, and the Rambam writes very clearly. Let's read it together. Says the Rambam, Kedusha Rishona Shekideh Shlomo is Beis HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim. That original sanctity that was infused into Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash by Shlomo HaMelech, says the Rambam, that was Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Yosid Lavo. That was a Kedusha that wasn't only just a temporary sanctity, that was something that was an everlasting Kedusha that was infused into the Makam HaMikdash, L'Fikach. Therefore, says the Rambam, theoretically, Makrivin Karbanos Afal Pi She'ein Sham Bayis Banui. Theoretically, says the Rambam, we would have the ability today to bring a karban on the Har HaBayis, even though there is no Beis HaMikdash. Now you have all kinds of technical problems, because we don't have a Kohen Gadol, we don't have Big Day Kuhuna, we don't have people who are Tohar, we have all kinds of obstacles in the way that are technical obstacles, but says the Rambam, theoretically you would be able to offer a karban, even Bizman Hazeh, even today, when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he says you would be allowed to eat karbanos there. Skip down another line, and then the Rambam says very poetically, V'lama ani omer, why is it that I believe that b'migdash v'Yerushalayim kedusha rishona kidsha liyasid lavo? Why do I assume, says the Rambam, that original kedusha that was infused into the Har HaBayis, why do I assume that is an everlasting sanctity, that it stays there even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? And contrast that to the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael itself, where the Rambam says that it loses its status of Kedusha today. Says the Rambam, there's a major difference. Because Kedushas Yerushalayim, what invested, what endowed Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash with its Kedusha? It had nothing to do with Shlomo HaMelech building a Beis HaMikdash. What endowed the Makam HaMikdash with its sanctity was the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashresh Chinaso. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to reside his Shechina and to rest it in the Beis HaMikdash, on the Har HaBayis. And because of that, we assume that the Makam HaMikdash has a very elevated status of Kedusha. Now therefore, says the Rambam, you can destroy a building, you can destroy a city, you can destroy a wall, but Kedushas Yerushalayim is only because of the Ribono Shel Olam Shechina. Ushchina Eina Betela. You are never able to destroy the presence of God Himself. You can never get rid of the Shechina itself. And therefore we assume that since the entire sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Har HaBayis, was solely based on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina was there, therefore, says the Rambam, that level of sanctity is remaining forever, for all eternity. And therefore we assume that even after a Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash proper retains its status of Kedusha. Now the Ravid, as he often does, has a major dispute with the Rambam on this very point. And the Ravid there attacks him and he says, Omer Avram, Svaras Atzmo Hizeh. He says, the Rambam is making this up. Lo Yadati Minayin Lo. The Ravid says, I have no idea where he got this from. And in fact, the Ravid there goes on and on to bring all kinds of proofs from Mishnayis and from Gemaras and Midrashim to show that the position of the Rambam is absolutely incorrect and it's unacceptable. Says the Ravid, this is something that has no source at all. It's actually against the sources in the Mishnayis and the Gemara, and he rejects categorically the position of the Rambam where he says that the Kedusha will remain even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's a major debate exactly how to understand this dispute of the Ravid. Some say that the Ravid believes that the Rambam is absolutely wrong. And the Rambam says that the Makam HaMikdash retains its status of Kedusha even today. And the Ravid says, no, there is absolutely no sanctity at all to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Makam HaMikdash, to the Har HaBayis. Once the Beis HaMikdash is gone, there's nothing left at all and you have nothing to be concerned about. That is the way the Meiri understands the position of the Ravid. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it's totally okay, there's nothing on the Har HaBayis any longer. And therefore the Meiri writes that the minhag in his generation was that everybody would walk onto the Har HaBayis. Nobody had any second thoughts about it. There was nothing to be concerned about. It was after the Churban, and therefore there is no sanctity left to the Makam HaMikdash based on this comment of the Ravid, because the Ravid disputes the position of the Rambam. However, Rabbi Yaakov Entlinger and the Binyan Sion and many other great Gedolim, Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky and some others, all feel that is not really what the Ravid had in mind. The Ravid doesn't disagree 100% with the Rambam. The Ravid agrees that yes, there is a Kedusha that remains even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. The Ravid only disputes one very small point that the Rambam puts forth, and that is, what if a person does go onto the Har HaBayis today inappropriately when they were not supposed to go? The Ravid agrees that you violate an Avera. The only thing the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam about is that you won't be Chayiv Karis. That's the only thing that he disputes. But the principle itself that a person is not allowed to go onto the Har HaBayis even today because that would be a violation of the Lav, that is something that the Ravid agrees with the Rambam about. And therefore he feels that this is something that would be inappropriate, just like the Rambam believes, just you won't have the Chiyuv Kares that the Rambam feels would be appropriate for somebody who violated this Avera. Based on the position of the Rambam then goes a step further, and he says, Afal pi shehamigdash chariv hayom ba'avonoseinu harabim, even though we know that the Beis HaMikdash is not bibinyana today, chayiv adam mimaro, we have an obligation to be in awe of the Makom HaMikdash, kemo shehaya noeg bivinyano, the same way we would act when the Beis HaMikdash was built, that is the same way that we need to act now. And therefore he says, one has to be careful where they go on the Shetach Har HaBayis. Velo yeshe ba'azara, one is not allowed to sit down on certain portions of the Har HaBayis. Velo yakel rosho keneged shara mizach, and the Rambam says, you have to be very, very vigilant, very careful to make sure that you don't do something wrong on the Shetach Har HaBayis, even Mizman Hazeh, when there is no Beis HaMikdash Bibinyana any longer. How do we paskin in this machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid? So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tisha B'Av writes very clearly that we have categorically rejected the position of the Ravid. We have accepted the position of the Rambam that the Beis HaMikdash, even after it is destroyed, the level of sanctity of the Har HaBayis itself retains its Kedusha, nothing changes at all. And the Magen Avraham writes, if you violate this halacha, you will be punished with kares, because you had no right to go onto the Har HaBayis, even Bizman Hazeh. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef has a very beautiful paragraph where he writes, you know, the Meiri said before that in his day, everybody went onto the Har HaBayis. So therefore, the Rambam is obviously wrong. Says Rabbi Avadi, I don't understand. How can you bring a proof from the days of the Meiri? After all, who lived in Yerushalayim in the days of the Meiri? Who is he saying were these people who had the practice of going onto the Har HaBayis? There were a bunch of Amaratzim. They weren't learned people living in Yerushalayim. In fact, the Ramban sends a letter to his son, Rabbi Nachman. When he finally comes to Yerushalayim, he says to his son, I got to Yerushalayim, and I was here for a couple of days. And then he says, I feel terrible, because there is nothing here. There's no minyan. There's no Sefer Torah. I have to leave Yerushalayim, because everybody's davening in their homes. There's nothing here. So therefore, says Rabbi Avadia, how can the Meiri say the practice in our generation is that the Jews in Yerushalayim walk on the Har HaBayis and no one is concerned? Who cares what the Jews in your generation did? They're all wrong. The Jews in your generation who lived in Yerushalayim are not Jews who understood the severity of this halacha. They're not Jews who understood all the issues involved. And therefore we cannot bring any proof to this question at all. And we stick with the Magen Avraham's Psak, which is the Psak of most of the Gedolei Achronim, that we have adopted the position of the Rambam, that we assume that the status of the Har HaBayis retains its Kedusha even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. There's a Tosefta, Maseches Shavuos, where we're told that this is a very serious issue that you need to consider. It's not simple when you talk about a person who is Tamei entering onto the Har HaBayis. And there the Tosefta says, Kashe Tumas Migdash V'Kadashav Yoser Mikol Aver Shabbatorah. A person who goes onto the Har HaBayis when they are in a state of impurity, when they are in a state of tuma, that is considered a very serious, a very severe avera. How do you know? Shakal avera sheba Torah miskaparas pamachas b'shana. When we talk about all the other averas in the Torah, you have Yom Kippur, and once a year you have an opportunity to atone for your sin. However, we assume tumas migdash v'kadashav miskaparas b'chol chodesh v'chodesh. The Gemara assumes that every single month on Rosh Chodesh we bring a karban to be mechaper, to atone for all those people who came onto the Har HaBayis when they were tamei. And therefore you see from there, says the Tosefta, that this is a very serious issue. It's not an avera like all others. This in some way is considered to be a far more severe avera. Now in 1866, when Moshe Montefiore went to Yerushalayim, as we know, he was one of the great philanthropists in his day, and he was a tremendous supporter of all that was going on in the Yishuv HaChadash, of all that was going on in the new, exciting community that was being built around Yerushalayim. They were all so poor, they had nothing. And Moshe Montefiore was really the one who was putting the money behind all of the efforts. So Moshe Montefiore comes to Yerushalayim, and he's so excited to be there, and he immediately goes to see the Har HaBayis, and he walks onto the Har HaBayis. Upon hearing about his visit, Rabbi Yosef Moshe Milisa, who was the son of the Chavos Das, lived in Yerushalayim, and he was infuriated. What right does Moshe Montefiore have to go onto the Har HaBayis? After all, he's not Tahar, he's a Tamei, and he has no right to go onto the Shetach Har HaBayis Bizman Hazeh. So he goes immediately and he takes out a shofar, and he goes into the streets of Yerushalayim, and he puts Moshe Montefiore into Chayra. So this was a major problem. Moshe Montefiore was the major philanthropist who was taking care of all of the needs of the Jews in Yerushalayim. And now one of the great leaders of Yerushalayim comes out and puts him in Chayram. So what do you do now? So all the other Rabbanim in Yerushalayim went to go calm down the situation. And they told Moshe Montefiore, we understand that our friend Rabbi Yosef Moshe Milisa is a great man, but you can ignore his Chayram because it's meaningless. You don't have to worry about it. He's not the one who's in charge here, and you can totally ignore him. So what is that all about? Is that because they disagree? Is that because they don't really believe that the Rambam is the correct psak? The answer is absolutely not. They adopt the position of the Rambam that one is not allowed to go onto the Har HaBayis Betuma Bizman Hazeh. However, they went and explained to Moshe Montefiore, there is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, and you don't deserve to be in Chayram because you violated an Avera B'Shogeg. You had no idea the severity of the issue. You thought that today, when there's no Beis Hamikdash, you assumed that that means that there's nothing to be concerned about. You assume that the Har HaBayis has lost its status of sanctity, has lost its Kedusha, and there's no longer any reason to be concerned for a person to visit that place today. And therefore they went to calm him down and they said, not that we dispute the position of the Rambam, we accept the position of the Rambam, and you should not do it again. But the fact that one of the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim put you in Chayram, that was very inappropriate, because after all, we don't put people in Chayram for violating an Avera B'Shogeg. And this is why Rav Kook in his day was strongly opposed to Jews in Yerushalayim going to visit the Har HaBayis. Because after all, he said, we have to be very, very careful. We accept the position of the Rambam, and therefore we might be playing with a potential Issur Kares. And therefore he said, in his opinion, this was not an appropriate thing to do at all. We do not believe that going on to the Har HaBayis is a good idea, said Rav Kook, and it's something that he very strongly put his position out about, that people in his day should not visit the Har HaBayis, they should not go on to the Shetach HaAzara or Beis HaMikdash at all. Now, Rav Kook then writes a letter where he says that there were Jews who wanted to build a shul on the Har HaBayis. After all, don't we know that all over the world people are davening toward the Har HaBayis, and all of our tefillos go up from the Makam HaMikdash, so they wanted to build a shul on the Har HaBayis. And Rav Kook says, very bad idea. I understand where you're coming from. Ki beisi beis tefila yikara lechal ha'amim, but a very poor idea. Why? Because he says, we can't screen every single member of the shul who's going to come daven, and inevitably at some point you're going to have a Jew who's not going to understand the rules, that they have to go to mikveh, that they have to take their shoes off. They're not going to understand everything that goes into visiting the Har HaBayis. And therefore, he said, it is going to lead people to violate an Avera that is possibly and potentially an Issur Kares. And therefore, said Rav Kook, we have to be careful. And therefore, he said, I don't believe that this is a good idea at all. We should not have a shul there. He said, let's make a shul in Yerushalayim, where we can see the Makam HaMikdash, where we can see the Kotel, where we can see all of the holy places that Yerushalayim represents, but to make it on the Har HaBayis itself was something that he was very strongly opposed to. Now, even if we adopt the position of the Rambam, as we said, that there is still a Kedusha that lingers on the Har HaBayis, on the Shetach HaHar HaBayis and the Makam HaMikdash, there's a further question as to what exactly are the parameters, what are the measurements of the Har HaBayis itself. So we turn to a Mishnah Maseches Midos, where the Mishnah says that there was a size for the Har HaBayis, and that is Har HaBayis haya chamesh meos ama al chamesh meos ama. The Har HaBayis was 500 square feet. Now, as we know today, the Har HaBayis, the way we see it, is far bigger than 500 square feet. So when did that happen? When did it become so big? When did it extend? So the answer is that in the days of Herod, in the days of Hurdus, he wanted to beautify the Beis HaMikdash, and he built the beautiful Beis HaMikdash that we had, like the Gemara Baba Basra describes, it was an amazing structure, but he also wanted to extend the Shetach HaRabayis. He wanted the whole area to be far more expansive. And therefore, he pushed out the walls of the HaRabayis, and therefore he assumed that the entire sanctity of the HaRabayis now would be extended as well. Now that is a very questionable point. It's questionable whether when you extend the HaRabayis, does it automatically take on the status of HaRabayis? Or do we assume that that is something that requires something more than just extending the wall in order to infuse it with the actual Kedusha of HaRabayis and all the consequences that come along with that? So we have a Mishnah Maseches Shavuos where the Mishnah says, Ein mosifin al ha'ir ve'al ha'azaros. When you want to add on to the city of Yerushalayim, you want to extend Yerushalayim, there's not enough room. Or you want to add on to the Azara, to the actual space in the Beis HaMikdash itself. You want to push out the walls and make the Beis HaMikdash bigger. Says the Gemara, there's a whole procedure. There are a number of components that need to be present in order to extend the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, or in order to extend the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash of the Azara itself. So what are those components? Says the Gemara, you need a melech, you need a king, you need a navi, you need Urim v'tumim, you need a Sanhedrin shel shivim v'echad, you need to bring karbanos, and you need to sing shira. That is the only way that you can have Kedusha being infused when you extend Yerushalayim or you extend the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now, in the days of Herod, they did not have all these components. They didn't have a melech and a navi and urim v'tumim and a sanhedrin and karbanos, and therefore we assume that they would not have had the ability to extend Yerushalayim or to extend the Beis HaMikdash in his day. However, what's very curious here is that the Mishnah does not say that these are necessary components for extending the Har HaBayis. The Mishnah only says that these are necessary ingredients when you want to extend Yerushalayim or when you want to extend the Azara, the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash. But we don't really know what is the rule when you want to extend just the Har HaBayis itself, when you want to push out those walls. Does the extension now take on the status of Har HaBayis, or perhaps it remains the way it is with the old parameters, 500 square amos, and it does not extend any further? That is a very difficult question to answer because we don't really have a source in the Gemara itself that describes it. Now, when we talk about the Shetach Har HaBayis, when we talk about the entire area, the plain, which is the Har HaBayis, it can be divided really into two basic categories, two major sections, and that is number one, the Machane Leviya, and number two, the Machane Shechina. Machane Leviya is considered to be on a lower level, that is part of the Har HaBayis, and the Machane Shechina is considered to be on a more intense level of Kedusha, also on the Har HaBayis. So what is the difference between these two levels? Machane Leviya is the outer section of the Har HaBayis, and there we assume that one who is a Tamei Mace, one who has come in contact with a dead body, has a right to enter that part of the Har HaBayis. So that's the Gemara Maseches Psachim, that is the Rambam in Hilchos Bias Migdash, that on that section of the Har HaBayis, which we refer to as Machane Leviya, that is the outer section, we assume that you're allowed to go even if you are a Tamei Mace. However, the Rambam writes that if you are a Tama Hayotze Ala Migufo, if you have some sort of emission from your body, for example, you are a Metzora, you are a Zav, you are a Zava, you are a Yoledes, a woman who just gave birth, a Nida, or a man who is a Balkeri, any person in that category is not allowed to go onto any part of the Har HaBayis. Now, it's very easy to solve that issue, because all you need to do is go to the mikveh. And if you go to the mikveh, you're able to become tahor from the Tumah HaYotzei Alav Migufo. So therefore we assume that the outer section of the Har HaBayis is one where we are allowed to go even if we are Tamei Emes, even though we've come in contact with a dead body, but if we have not yet gone to the mikveh to purify ourselves from a Tumah HaYotzei Alav Migufo, from some emission from our body, that would be something that would stand in the way of us entering into the Machane Leviya. When we talk about the inner section of the Har HaBayis, the Machane Shechina, there we assume that one who is Tamei, regardless of how you became Tamei, either because you had an emission from your body or because you came in contact with a dead body, we assume that you are not allowed to enter into the Machane Shechina at all. And somebody who violates that is punished with kari, says the Rambam. And therefore we have to ask ourselves this very difficult question. When we talk about entering the Har HaBayis, and when you enter the Har HaBayis, you're obviously going to have to go to the mikveh in advance to absolve yourself from that tumah, hayotze ala migufo, to make sure that you are no longer intrinsically tameh. And when you have something like that, you still need to be careful. Do you know exactly where to draw the line between the Machane Levia and the Machane Shechina? Do you know exactly what the border is on the Shetach Har HaBayis? Do you know where you're walking? Do you know to be careful not to go to any place that is potentially prohibited for somebody who has a tumah from Tumas Meis, for somebody who has come in contact with a dead body? That is a potential Chiyuv Kares. And therefore one has to be extremely careful. So, in 1967, right after they liberated Yerushalayim and they now gained sovereignty over the Har HaBayis, there were many Jews who were so excited that they finally had the opportunity to visit this very holy and sacred place. I remember I read a story 2 years ago where apparently the soldiers who had now just liberated the Har HaBayis itself, they were asking Rav Goren, where is the Kotel? We want to go daven. And Rav Goren turned to them and he said, how do you not understand? The Kotel is only what's left. You're on the Har HaBayis. That's even more Kaddish than the Kotel. So there were many Jews who didn't even understand that the Har HaBayis is really the apex. The Har HaBayis is the pinnacle. That's really where we're supposed to be. The Kotel is only the remnant of the Beis HaMikdash of the Har HaBayis. But the Har HaBayis itself is the really holy place. And therefore, right after they liberated Yerushalayim, there was a major problem because there were many Jews who were running through the Shetach Har HaBayis in order to get to the Kotel to daven. And they didn't even realize that they had no right to go there because all of them were Tamei and none of them had gone to the mikveh. And therefore there was an emergency meeting that was called together by the Rabbanut on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Tavshin Chavzayin, 1967. The Rabbanut came out with a declaration, and that was that because we're concerned that there are many Jews who don't understand the way they are supposed to behave and conduct themselves on the Har HaBayis, therefore, in our opinion, the Rabbanut said, this is something that we strongly discourage. We don't want Jews going on to the Har HaBayis because we're concerned that maybe they're going to do the wrong thing, maybe they're not going to be going to the mikveh properly, and this is something that they were very, very worried about. This was signed by many, many great Gedolim. In Tavshin Chavzayin, they put out this letter, and it was signed by Rav Unterman, who was a great Talmud Chacham then. It was signed by Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, by Rabbi Yashar, by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orabach, by the Tzitz Eliezer, by Rabbi Avadia Yosef, and by many, many great Gedolim of the time, that they suggested that it was a better idea just to ignore the whole idea of going on to the Har HaBayis because there are so many potential problems that you can face by doing so. And this is something we need to be so, so careful about. And years later in Tavshin Ayin Vav, and there were many, many iterations of this over the years, so there were about 100 Rabbanim who signed a letter that they reinforced this position of the Rabbanut, that they think it is an inappropriate thing for Jews to be going on to the Har HaBayis today. And among them, once again, was Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Avram Shapiro, who was the chief rabbi at the time, and Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, Rabbi Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, who was the son-in-law of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Many, many of them had put forth their position that they think it is not a good idea to have groups of Jews visiting the Shetach Har HaBayis because, as we mentioned, there are so many potential halachic problems that are involved, and you could be borderline violating an Isser Kares, which is something that we have to be very, very careful about. Now, one final point is, there's a letter that the Sefer Charedim quotes from the Rambam. The Rambam was yearning to go to Yerushalayim. The Rambam wanted so badly to be able to come to Yerushalayim and experience what Yerushalayim was all about. He finally gets to Yerushalayim, and he writes a letter. And in the letter he says the following, B'yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, it was a Tuesday, Arba Yamim Liyerach Mar Cheshvan. It was 4 days into the month of Cheshvan. And he says, on that day, Yatsanu Me'ako Lalos the Yerushalayim Tachas Hasakana. Says the Rambam, we left Akko. Akko was the port city. And we went from Akko to Yerushalayim. And there was a tremendous danger that was involved in that travel. But we did it anyway because we really wanted to go experience Yerushalayim. And when I got there, he says, Nichnasti Labayis Hagadol VaHakadosh, I entered the holy house, V'ispalalti Bo, and I davened there. Ushnei HaYamim HaElu, says the Rambam, listen to this. Those 2 days when I got to Yerushalayim were Shishi Utshi B'Mar Cheshvan, Nadarti, he said, I promised, Sheyihyu li kamo yamtiv. The Rambam writes, you know, we celebrate anniversaries, we celebrate birthdays, we have all kinds of milestones. The Rambam says, you know, the milestones that I celebrate in my life are the days that I came to Yerushalayim. And he says, Hashem ya'azreni al hakol, v'yikuyim li nidri la Hashem ha'shalem. He says, I hope God will give me the strength that I should be able to fulfill my promise and celebrate this incredible Yom Tov every year. Ukeshem shazachisi lehispalo b'churbana. And the same way that I was able to daven in this special place, in its destruction, in its state of ruin, kach era ani v'chol Yisrael b'nechamasa b'mher v'yameinu amen. So too he writes, I hope I will come to the day where I will be able to see it rebuilt in Nechamas Yerushalayim. So there were some who understood this Rambam to mean that he comes up to Yerushalayim and immediately he goes onto the Har HaBayis and that's where he davens. And he says, just as I have seen this place, Bichorbana, I hope that I will see it once again, Bibinyana uvenechamasa as well. And this, I believe, is a major mistake. This is really not at all clear that that's what the Rambam meant to teach us. Because the Rambam here is just saying that he came to Yerushalayim and he went to daven in a shul. He doesn't say anything about going on to the Har HaBayis. All he says is that he came to Yerushalayim and he sees that it's Bichorbana and he hopes that one day he'll be able to experience Yerushalayim b'nechamasa. But nowhere does the Rambam indicate that he actually walked onto the Har HaBayis to daven. It does not say that at all. So this is a very questionable passage from the Rambam, where he tells us about his experience in Yerushalayim. It's not clear at all that the Rambam meant to say that he went and visited on the Har HaBayis itself. In fact, it would be probably much simpler to assume that the Rambam just found a shul in Yerushalayim, and that is where he davened. Let us just close the shiur with the following. Rav Waldenberg in the Tzitz Eliezer, when he talks about this issue, ends off with the following tefillah, and I believe it's a beautiful way to end our shiur this evening as well with a tefillah. V'yihi ratzon b'mehera didan. It should be the will of the Ribbono shel Olam speedily in our days. Techazena einenu b'shuv Hashem l'tzion b'rachamim gedolim. We should have the opportunity that Hashem should return with tremendous and overwhelming mercy. L'maher l'hachish gu'ulaseinu, that He should speed up our redemption. U'lahashiv alkano habayis hagodol v'hakadosh shenikra shemo alav. He should bring back the home that is called the Beis Hashem, the home that is His home. Od b'yeser se'eis v'yeser oz, it should be brought back with glory and with pride. Kimuvtach lanu al yedei nevi'ei ha'emes v'hatzedek. Like all the Nevi'im promised us, shedavar echad midivreim lo yashuvu reikam. We know that all the promises of the Nevi'im will come true. And therefore he says, we hope that the promise of the Nevi'im, when they told us about what the Beis HaMikdash will look like, of what Yerushalayim Bivinyana is going to feel like when we experience it once again, we hope we'll have that opportunity. V'simchas olam al roshenu, b'shivas malchus beis David al kana, v'al kiso le'yeshev zar, when we'll have David HaMelech leading again in Yerushalayim. V'lo yinchalu od acheirim es kevado, kasher nishbalo b'shem kadsho, shelo yichbe neiro le'olam v'ed, b'mehera v'yameinu amen. That's what we daven for. As we come to Yom Yerushalayim, this is what we wish for, that we once again have the opportunity to visit the Makam HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis b'binyana, not to see it any longer b'churbana, that we should have the opportunity to live with Kedusha, with Tahara, that we should be able to have David HaMelech come once again, shelo yichbe neiro li'olam v'ed, and we should have the opportunity to experience the Bias Gol Tzedek, b'mehera v'yameinu amen.